Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Fight fans, we welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I'm your host, Dan Canobio, coming to you from Brooklyn, New York, New York City. We're doing well out here. We're keeping busy, and we're talking boxing. If you like the show here, Inside Boxing Live, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube page at CopyBox TV. Subscribe also on Apple Podcasts at Inside Boxing Live. You can catch us on Pluto TV as well, the Fight Channel, streaming all week long. It's the free Pluto TV app. And we're going to do a little bit different this time. We're going to switch it up for this show. We're going to have some topics, but we're going to have a little more of an open format. And joining me, as usual, you know him as Current Body. You know him as the S, the Experts podcast. You know him as the matchmaker for Cecilia Breakhouse versus Clarissa Shields. This dude is doing everything right now. He joined us now from New Jersey, correct?
I'm in New Jersey, Dan. I tried to get out of the city a couple of weeks ago. I just figured, you know, saw the writing on the walls. Luckily, been able to come to New Jersey, have a little bit more space here, spend time with the family, try to hunker down, stay safe like we all are. I know that you stayed in the city, though, right? You stayed in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, I figured I wanted maybe thought about going out to Long Island where I grew up, my parents are, but it's just like it was too risky. But there's a new rule now. If you those who left New York City, they're not allowed to come back.
Oh, well, there you go.
So we're down for, we went from 10 million. Now we're down to about like, I mean, the streets are empty. I went for a walk 2 days ago and I over the bridge to Greenpoint into Queens. It's right over the Queens Midtown Tunnel. Not a car going through at 4 o'clock rush hour.
That's completely crazy. Empty. I'm guessing you've never seen it like that, right?
No, it's completely empty. It's a ghost town in Manhattan. But yeah. That's what it is. Hope everyone's staying safe out there. Hope everyone is practicing all the protocols. You're not going to hear me preach to you. By now, I think we've got it all down. And we every day that we wake up, we're one day closer to boxing. We're also one day closer to UFC 249 because Dana White says global pandemic. I don't care. I have islands. I have, you know, private jets. You know, I have Indian reservations, Native American reservations where I'm going to put on 249. And obviously, we're waiting to see who was going to do this first. Dana White's the first, I would say, commissioner, what have you, or the major sports to do this. He's going to be putting on UFC 249 April 19th, I believe, or April 18th. It was the card. April 18th in Brooklyn. And, you know, first thing I thought was what does this mean for boxing? And I don't think much. Talking to some promoters, talking to some people in the game, totally different setup, the UFC and boxing. It's one regulated business. They have huge backers with WME. They have a brazen and bold commissioner and Dana White, who also happens to have the ear of the president. So I have no doubt that President Trump, you know, told him to go for it and do it. But it's very controversial, Curran. And it leads me to believe that I don't know exactly, but you look at some of the things boxing, you know, Arum and Andy Hearn have spoke out against it. What do you think it means for boxing getting back on to TV?
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, as you said, UFC is the overarching body, right? And obviously there's other MMA leagues, but UFC is on top. They can make the rules versus boxing. Unfortunately, as we know, it's so fragmented. There's promoters and networks and commissions. And to bring all those people together to make an event is already difficult as is, right? That's the frustration for all of us. And then it's obviously going to be harder in terms of the situation right now because of the regulations in place. Now, with that said, I mean, I guess the question is, should UFC be doing this event? Dana White said they're trying to do it in the Taachi Palace Casino. Or no, sorry. He hasn't confirmed or denied where it is, but that was the report. Should they be doing it? I mean, I spoke to Dan Rafael yesterday and he had mixed feelings about it. I also have mixed feelings because on one hand, as sports fans, we want entertainment. We'd love to see fights back. On the other hand, is it safe if a fighter goes to the hospital? What if that fighter took the bed of someone who maybe has coronavirus? I mean, how do you manage all of that? So I have mixed feelings about it as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's wrong. I flat out think that they're wrong. I also am happy that it's not boxing that's doing this. I would have surefire thought that some promoter out there would do this. This is boxing we're talking about. Come on. This is even had guys like Eddie Hearn come out and criticize Dana White, who is he's been very complimentary of Dana White. He thinks, you know, he says, I, you know, kind of consider myself with the same mentality. You know, I'll always take risks, but not now. It's in poor taste. Said Eddie Hearn, but I'm just happy it's not boxing that's doing it. Yes, I'm going to watch it. I don't know if I'll order it, but I'm going to like watch from a distance to see how it all plays out because they're the first people to do it. They're the first ones back. I figured it was going to be a combat sport. Just was hoping it wasn't boxing, but you're right. There's a lot of things that go wrong. And you take a look at the ringside physicians, the Association of Ringside Physicians issued a statement. They said any combat sport taking place during this global pandemic places the athletes, officials, and anyone else involved under unnecessary risk of infection and transmission of COVID-19. In addition, combat sports athletes often require medical attention after a bout, and we do not wish to see any additional strain on an already overwhelmed medical system to the point that you just brought up, Karen, about potentially taking a bed or... You know, sometimes fighters go to the hospital after fights for precautionary reasons. They go to whether they have to get stitched up or they have a really bad concussion. Or if you have a giant hematoma on your head, you have to go to the hospital. But you're right. You know, now, according to Dana White, or according to this report, he's going to have to hire his own judges. He has to hire his own referees. He has to hire right. double the doctors. And these are doctors that are going to go against the Association of Ringside Physicians. So, I know, I hate to use the word scab, but like, what are they? Like, who are these doctors? And he has to like use double the amount of doctors. There's so many things, so many obstacles that he has to jump over for what though? Why not just do it in May? Why do you have to do it in April?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I guess the counterpoint could be someone had to be first eventually, right, to get sports back. And I think there was an article that said MLB is going to try for May. Now, what's interesting about if you read that article about MLB, what they're trying to do, they're going to make some big changes to the game. They're going to have an electronic strike zone so that the umpire can be further away. There's no mound visits from the catcher or pitcher. You know, they can't come to the mound from the coach or anything. So, I mean, I'm curious to see this UFC fight. I mean, what's going to be different? Obviously, there's going to be no fans. We know that. But how is it going to be? I mean, you can't have a referee in UFC be further away from the fighters than he needs to be because that's a matter of safety, right? A fight needs to be stopped. You can't be watching that from, you know, outside of the cage or anything. So it will be interesting. And I think we're all kind of having that mixed feeling because in a way we so badly want to see these big UFC fights, boxing fights, things like that. In another way, we're like, are we sure that this is the right thing to do? I mean, it just, we really don't know right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But the baseball plan is just absurd. I mean, they right. want to have no dugouts. They're going to have the players sit 6 feet away from each other in the stands. Like it radically changes the sport. I mean, they're talking about 7-inning games to make, Not only that, you know, 120 degrees in Arizona in the middle of the summer, and you have these guys playing. Not to mention, they're going to be away from their families for 5 months. That's a whole other story for another day. But you're right. We have to see how it's going to get back. But I'm just interested in how this affects boxing because we all want to get back to watching boxing safely. And I have a vested interest in, you know, working for CompuBox. I want to get back ringside or however we're going to, you know, do our job moving forward. You know, in one regard, I, you know, want to see how it plays out. Very happy it's not boxing. But take a look at the headlines. I tweeted one of them. You know, you have Bob Arum saying that we need to change ticket prices after the global pandemic.
Right.
You have Eddie Hearn saying that it's just in poor taste. Then you go over to the MMA side of things, and it's like Dana White is looking for jets. He's looking for islands. Yeah, it's just completely different. Like you would think it would be boxing that would be doing this.
You would. I mean, right. It would be right on brand for boxing to do something controversial or different. I guess, like we said, the biggest thing is that there is no overarching overarching party in boxing, right? You'd mentioned Eddie Hearn, Bob Arum. These are top players, but they don't control the entire sport or the majority of the top level of the sport the way that Dana White does. So obviously that's a huge difference. I think it will be interesting to see, too, when boxing comes back, what it'll be like. So in March 7th, I believe it was, we were at the Barclays Center for Kovnowski versus Helenis. That was business as usual, right? That was a normal arena packed with 9,000 fans. Then a week later on Showtime, there was a fight that had no crowd. So that was different. So now it's going to be like when we go back to boxing, There's probably going to be no crowd. What's the production going to be like? A remote production crew? What is it going to be like with trainers, with commissions? How close can people get to each other? It's a whole can of worms, but it seems like the key principles in boxing, right? The equivalents to Dana White, the people that you mentioned, are basically saying, let's see what happens first. Let's listen to the experts. Let's make sure that we have the go ahead from things like medical commissions, state, local officials, people like that, to do that. It's interesting. You said Dana White maybe has Trump's ear, and I wonder what that conversation has been like. I'm sure he's talked to the president about it. What does the president think? We know the president originally wanted to open up the economy and open up businesses by Easter. Well, he's getting a UFC fight soon after Easter, I guess. So I'm guessing he's probably happy about that, right? That would be my guess.
I mean, there's it's not a coincidence that, you know, they had this big meeting with all the heads of all the sports. I mean, boxing wasn't even represented, which I thought was kind of funny. I mean, who would? I put out a tweet, who would represent boxing? You know, would it be Lou DiBella, who has criticized the president every chance he's get? Aram, who has criticized the president every chance he gets? Maybe Suleiman from the WBC? But it's no coincidence that they had this meeting with all the heads of sports, and then the next day, you know, the UFC plans go ahead. The next day, you hear about this MLB plan. So I think the MLB plan is crazy, but it is almost like an example of how we are going to get back into the workforce, where whether it's making sure everyone's healthy, like having more of like a quarantined, like biosphere of type of scenario. And also it's the entertainment value. And then you're going to do it in May or June, not in April.
It would just be better if their experts could say, hey, now it's safe to go do this, right? I think we'd all feel better about that at that point.
Well, that's like the allure of Dana White. He wants to say, listen, a global pandemic never stopped me. This never stopped this. This, you know, nothing will stop the UFC. It also helps to have the president in your mind. We're going to move on now. More topics coming up here inside Boxing Live. So, Curran, obviously we know boxing isn't coming back for the foreseeable future. But it got me to think about less speculation, more about who's going to benefit the most from this hiatus. Obviously, there are some older fighters that come to mind, Triple G. Deontay Wilder is now getting up there in age. He's 34 years old. But one name that I saw, he did an Instagram Live interview and made me really think, like, wow, this guy is going to benefit the most from the extra time off. That's Errol Spence Jr. You know, talking with him, seeing him talk with Ray Flores, our guy Ray Flores over on IG Live, he just looked better. His teeth, I know he had dental work, and talking to the people that have had dental work, it takes like 3 to 4 months for them to settle in. I think when he did that interview with Brian Kenny, I think that was like, I just didn't think it was the right time for him to do it. Not only did Brian Kenny kind of ambush him with the questions, he just wasn't ready to talk. He wasn't ready to get in there. But seeing Errol Spence, you know, in that interview and just thinking about how he can really benefit from extra time off, less pressure on him to take a tune-up fight, or whatever he was planning to do this summer. Now he can focus on maybe November or December. He's talking about Danny Garcia. I think that would be awesome. I don't think he wants to do a tune-up fight, but he is one fighter that I think will benefit the most from this hiatus.
Yeah, it's interesting to see who will benefit. We've talked about older fighters, right? Maybe fighters that are quote-unquote shop-worn, that have a lot of rounds under their belt, like a Triple G, a Sergey Kovalev, these type of guys. They're going to get some necessary rest on those older legs, and that's going to help them later this year, hopefully, if they can come back into the ring. You talked about Deontay Wilder. I mean, he's 34 years old now. He just had the first defeat of his entire professional life. So mentally, that's going to be a good break for him to kind of recalibrate. So that's huge for him. Obviously, it is big for Errol Spence. He was on top of the world, on top of the sport, had the car crash. The more time and rest that you can have, the better. Right after, or I should say a few months after the car crash, we saw him on TV with Brian Kenny. Like you said, I personally thought Brian Kenny did a really great job on that interview because he asked the questions we wanted to ask. I think it's on Spence and his people to not put him up on that platform if he's not ready, which it didn't seem like necessarily he was in terms of the way he was speaking. He was obviously healing from the accident. And there's been a bit of eagerness from Spence and his team, right? I spoke to his trainer, Derek James. They said they want Pacquiao or Garcia next. They don't want a tune-up, and they wanted that fight originally for spring. Obviously, coronavirus has pushed everything back. So he's eager to prove that he is the same fighter or better than he used to be before the car accident. He said that it's lit a fire up under him. Now,
yeah, he said he did.
Yeah, no, and so I think that's a good thing, but I think overall this will be a blessing in disguise for him.
No, it is. He's actually said so. He said more things in this IG Live than he has said in the last couple of months. He talked about the car crash and how it made him change his ways, his views on everything. It also said he also talked about how he was getting too comfortable. He said he's 190 pounds at one point. Wow. The day before the Mikey Garcia weigh-in or the day of the Mikey Garcia weigh-in, he sat in a sauna for 2 hours with like the sauna bag on, didn't sweat for the first hour. We've seen this guy when he's not fighting. He blows up. He gets big. Says he wants to stay at 147. But a main thing I took away from this IG Live was when they brought up Terrence Crawford. And he brought up a nice little nugget talking about a FaceTime conversation that they had early in the year. And he said that I respect Terrence Crawford because he's real. I don't like Keith Thurman. This is what Errol Spence said. I think he's putting on an act. He's putting on a shtick. This is what Errol Spence is. You know, Sean Porter likes to say stuff for the camera. But what you see is what you get from Terrence Crawford. And I think that's kind of how Errol Spence operates too. They're going to fight. I really do think they're going to fight, especially we saw this Fox and ESPN collaboration with Wilder and Fury. Not going to happen this year. And I would not be shocked if we see next February 2021, we're back to regular life. And we get Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, huge fight on multiple platforms. Some quick flurries for you, Kern. Some quick hitters. I put my writing cap back on, and I did something that fans have been asking us at CompuBox to do forever, and that is break down all the Rocky fights. And I'm telling you, I had so much fun doing this, man. It took me all week long last week. And man, was it a blast! And I wrote down some of my favorite takeaways from this. I actually teamed up with The Athletic. Shout out to Greg Rosenstein. He used some of my quotes, and he put together a great story. Then I did my own little blog for CompuBox TV. You want to check it out? It's made the rounds on Twitter. But here are some of the highlights here, Karin. Here from Rocky Creed One. Yeah, Rocky Creed One. Creed outlanded Rocky 25-3 in the first round. Rocky doesn't throw a punch for the first 2 minutes of the round, but he throws one punch and it floors Creed.
There you and have it. Creed. Wow.
Right. And this is Creed, who is considered the baddest man in the world. He's a heavyweight champion. Yeah. First punch that gets landed on him, he goes down from a journeyman.
That sounds like a Deontay Wilder right hand right there, right?
Exactly. Rematch. This was even funnier. Creed, 26 straight punches to open the fight, landing on Rocky. Like Rocky's head was like a batter. It was like a battering ram. He was just taking punch after 26 straight shots.
Yeah.
Never seen that in all my years of counting punches.
Right, no, that sounds like Keith Thurman in that one fight against Lopez getting knocked around the ring or something, right? I mean, how many punches straight was that? It's very rare that happens. Post. And Dan, I wanted to ask you, I noticed that in the article you talked about Rocky's last fight. He was 59 years old in that fight. Is that what do you think? You know, we've talked a lot about fighter safety. What do you think about getting in the ring at age 59?
Well, if according to the plot, according to the movie, his family didn't want to do it. The commission didn't want him to do it. But Dana White would have been like, yo, you should do it. You're 59. This is the 82nd fight of your career. You should do it. Rematch with Clubber Lang. No, first Clubber Lang fight. This is one of my I love right here.
Yeah.
71 punches thrown in the fight. Total. Zero jabs. Zero jabs. It reminded me of Hagler Hearns.
First all round power of shots, Hagler baby. Hearns.
All power shots. 81 punches thrown by Hagler in the first round against Tommy Hearns. All power shots. What else do we have here? Rocky 2. That's when Rocky decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let Clubber Lang just beat the piss out of me for 2 minutes. He threw 92 punches. Then I'm going to tire him out, knock him out.
Oh, so he had his own version of the old rope-a-dope, right? They had Ali versus Foreman on ESPN2 last night. I guess that was his own version of that, right?
Yeah, rope-a-dope. I'm going to eat 92 consecutive punches, and then I'm going to knock you out.
Do they say Mexican style is take three punches, throw one back? I guess this is Rocky style, take 92 and throw one back.
Right, Italian-American style. Italian-American style. Okay, I had fun doing that. I want to do more with it. I'm thinking about what I can do, but that was just great. Moving on here, some quick hits. This is for you, Karin. Now a matchmaker. You can add this to your resume. Former HBO producer, current podcast host, current producer of PBC on Fox programming. Matchmaker, take us through here. What has been going on with Clarissa Shields It's a Cecilia Breakhouse.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily an intentional matchmaking. I had the opportunity to interview Cecilia Breakhouse on Instagram Live. The topic of Clarissa Shields, of course, came up. And Cecilia said that she can't respond to Shields because she's blocked on Twitter. And she said that her offers from The Zone were higher than Showtime. Well, that made some headlines. Shields saw it. And I asked Clarissa Shields, I said, hey, can we get a response? We got the response from Shields. She said that Showtime offered them pay-per-view Showtime main event, which would be significantly more money than Breakhouse has made before. And she has now unblocked Cecilia Breakhouse. So they are talking. Clarissa Shields and Cecilia Breakhouse are going back and forth on Twitter. Hopefully that mega fight comes together. And if I had a 1% contribution to making that mega fight come together, I'll feel like I did my job. And that's a good thing for the sport of boxing, I would think.
Like that, love that. Did she unblock because of this like conversation that you kind of made here?
Clarissa Shields saw the interview I did with Cecilia Breakhouse, and she saw that Breakhouse mentioned she was blocked, and Clarissa decided to unblock her and follow her, and now they're tweeting back and forth. So
this is a time to love, not to hate.
Always a good thing when fighters are talking. You talked about Spence Crawford earlier; they're talking. Ali Frazier, I think, negotiating the rematch. We're talking Pacquiao Mayweather. It's good when fighters are talking to each other.
Yeah, it's a huge fight. That's a big fight in the women's division, and I think Shields is down to fight anyone. I think she's supposed to fight. Was she supposed to fight Layla Ali?
I asked her about that too, and I'm going to release that snippet soon too. There's a lot of bad blood back and forth. Again, it's a pricing issue. Layla Ali has been out of the ring for a while. She wants $5 million to come back. That's going to be tough to make it happen. Yeah. But that would be another mega fight, and there's a lot of bad blood there too. So I'd love to see that one too.
All right, moving forward here. Shannon Briggs signs with BKB. I love this. This is what BKB is all about. It's not about Paulie Malignaggi jabbing and moving and avoiding punches. It's about a 48-year-old man coming off a thrilling win over George Foreman in 1997 and going in there and laying it down. I want to see this happen. I think that one thing from this global pandemic is we're going to see guys like Shannon Briggs come out of the woodworks and guys that should not be fighting actually start to fight. But one thing we're seeing here.
Should Shannon Briggs be in BKB? I would say, is water wet? I would say yes. 100%. He's like, he should be.
He should be the face of it.
He should be the face. He's 48 years old. He hasn't fought in 4 years, but I looked at his box record recently. He's on a 10 fight winning streak. And hear this, Dan, you did the stats for Rocky. These are Rocky numbers. 9 of those last 10 fights were by knockout. 8 of those were by first round knockout in his last 10 fights.
Let's go, champ.
So he's on a tear, man. Let's get him in there. Let's get him in BKB. Absolutely.
He actually crashed my IG live with Regis Prograin. I thought it was awesome. Let's go, champ.
And champ.
I was like, is he in my apartment? All right. Lastly, before we go, this one's a little weird. Sure. I threw this on Twitter as well. Got asked to be on a digital dating show called Love on Lockdown. They wanted to just throw me into the ringer. They wanted to throw me out there. A lot of people chimed in. Lou DiBella said he would said I would do it. I would said only if you could be in my ear giving me advice. Evan Korn got on and said, of Top Rank PR guy, said you need to go on that date and just copy box the hell out of it.
This is like everything. The Bachelor but Quarantine Edition. Is that what's going on here?
Yes, The Bachelor. It's called Love on Lockdown. I had to look into it a little bit. You know, maybe this could be good for my career. Ultimately, decided no because no disrespect to them. Everyone's out there grinding, making content. But I don't know, man. I don't see myself doing that. But quarantine, Love on Lockdown.
I think you should do a Let's Go chant and get in there. I'm sure the dating apps are exploding, right? People are probably using these all the time, right?
Dude, the dating apps. It's a wild time to be single during a pandemic. That's a story for another day. The dating, you're seeing girls on these dating apps that are like models that would never normally be on it.
You can't meet them, right?
No, I would never do such a thing. It says right on the apps, it says take this app like FaceTime or like here. Like they're like really promoting that. Time to go. I'm gonna leave you on that note, on that very interesting note there on how my dating life is going during a global pandemic. Thank you, Current Badia, for joining us. We'll be back with more Inside Boxing Live coming your way. Dan Canobio signing off from Brooklyn, New York.